Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way. When you want the ability to adjust your loan options in real time, folks, remember, Rocket can. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Final weekend to do so. So many prospects. Actually, there's a lot of time. So much time. So many opportunities to make your team better in a draft. Unlike I think we've seen in quite a while. And in this way, probably, I'd go back to 1936 or 37, it would be, to the first NFL draft in Jay Berwanger. Because the scouting, the questions, you know, just where I'm at, it's like, Caleb Farley might look good there, but you got the back issues, and if he falls to you in the late 20s, and I'm always a guy, nothing against him, I'm sure he's pounding the table, and his doctors are pounding the table saying he's okay. You know, the back to me is like the transmission of the body. Once you go in, you're going to keep going back in. That scares me. And if he goes out, I hope he goes out and he has a Hall of Fame career. It just scares the hell out of me. It scares the hell out of me, and I couldn't do it. And there's so many guys with no 2020 season. They opted out of the 2020 season, or they played a game in the 2020 season, or three games, and they didn't have enough on tape. It's a very weird draft. It's as awkward as I think we've seen in quite some time. And I don't think it's a bad draft. I just think it's an awkward one where I think there's going to be a lot of guesses. I think there's going to be some swings. I think there's going to be some misses. I think some guys are going to get fired over this because they have to take big swings. They have to go and try to go for the gusto. And I think there's a team like the Bears who kind of just sitting there maybe twiddling their thumbs a little bit. I'd like them to go out and make a tough move. We'll see what they do. But I think there's a team like the Bears that are kind of like, let's not make too many crazy moves because we want to make sure it's going to be okay for the next general manager and the next head coach and everybody. Hopefully they prove you wrong. But it is the week before the NFL draft, and I do it every single week, and I'm going to do it this week. Who do you want to take for your team? Who is your team? Or who is your team? Who do you want them to take? How do you want it to be done? Everything and all that stuff. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. And the main question of that, the main question of not just, what's your team? That's fun. It's a fun thing to do, but it's not just that. It's also, and if you've listened to this show, you've known that this has become something that's, I don't know, I can't say obsession, but it's been up there. And later on today, I'll have to put the gears to Pierno here, give him the gears and see what he's going to do. Because if you're a Jets fan, should it just be a given that it's Zach Wilson? Zach Wilson seems like a likable guy. Somebody said Zach Wilson looks like a guy playing Zach Wilson in a movie about Zach Wilson, which I thought was fantastic. Should it just be a given? Because you know where I stand. I'm all in. I'm all in on Justin Fields. Earlier this week, the story came out, he's got epilepsy. His doctors have talked about it. Now, when this first came out, I've always tried to make it a rule. There's people who think I'm an idiot and a fool on some of the subjects I might talk about. But if I may be an idiot or a fool, that's an opinion. I try not to make an idiot or a fool of myself on things that I have no actual knowledge of whatsoever of or I'm ignorant on whatsoever. I had no idea, no clue you could quote-unquote outgrow epilepsy. I had no clue. So to hear that, when he first heard he had epilepsy, I go, was this something that they knew and they were trying to find other ways, but why wouldn't they just say it? Some people were calling in, because I do a show in Ohio, and a lot of people were calling. There were some people calling in going, well, you know, he could have been an advocate for it or something like that. I go, if they were finding so many of these other things about Justin Fields then, if they found all this stuff about, or if they were claiming all these things, not finding, because I don't think they found really anything, but if they were claiming all these different problems with Justin Fields, now, hey, he's a one-read guy, but he holds on to the ball too long, and I think epilepsy would have been an easy way out for some of the pundits. And I think Justin Fields, it's his thing that he has to deal with. Alan Faneca dealt with it. Alan Faneca is a Hall of Famer, and Alan Faneca lended his support on Twitter earlier this week over it. You know, that's, you could say he could be a person who's an advocate, a person who brings awareness to it, but you know what? It is his infliction, and he can deal with it the best way that he believes he should. It's his thing that he has to deal with. So if he wanted to keep it quiet until now, he could keep it quiet until now. It's his personal business the way it would be. So I was asked this question, well, what are you guys going to say tomorrow? Because it happened in the midday afternoon. And I didn't want to give away my take on Twitter, and I'll give away my take. I gave it away on air earlier this week, and I'll give it away here. I watched Justin Fields play very well. I was sold on Justin Fields. Great big Zeus-like body. Great big arm. I think that he's able to make anticipatory throws. Ted Wynn agrees with me on that, even though we've never met each other. There's so many things about Justin Fields that I liked, and I fell in love with Justin Fields, and I didn't know that he had it, so why would this change anything? He's shown that he can take a hit. He's shown that he can deal with everything. He's shown that he is, I think, a franchise quarterback in this league. And I think that if I was there at the number two pick, I'd take Justin Fields. And if I were Kyle Shanahan, I sure as hell would take Justin Fields. Epilepsy or no epilepsy? So to hear that he had this, or has this, I should say, means nothing to me. And I'm all in on Justin Fields. And if you got your favorite team, I'll hear who you want your favorite team to take. But if you were the Jets, if you were number two, are you sold on Zach Wilson? Are you sold on him? Is that the end-all, be-all? I mean, BYU took on as many comers as they possibly could. They went through the scheduling debacle that they had to change everything because of the pandemic. They did. They took on all comers. They took on as many as they could. He did. He raised the play, raised the level of play at BYU. He did a better job. I'm not going to deny Zach Wilson any of that stuff. But if it comes to that number two pick, I put Justin Fields against everybody. Against Trevor Lawrence, I said this before, and I'll say it again. As a father, as a homeowner, an unpaid testimonial here. My neighbors, they talk and they talk and they rant and they rave, and I'm still in my mid to early 30s. Is 34 is that early 30s or is that mid 30s yet, Pierno? That's mid 30s, right?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that. I was actually thinking about this a couple of weeks ago. Like, I guess mid 30s.
I think 34 to 30. Yeah, I think 34 to 30. I'd say 34, 35, 36 is mid 30s, right? So I'm mid 30s. Okay. So I'm a homeowner, mid-30s, got small kids. The next power tools I buy, the next set of power tools I think I'm going to buy are Milwaukee. And the reason behind that is because everybody and their brother, guys who are older than me, guys who have had families for a long time, they got these great big, and they are expensive, man. They are really, really expensive. And they go, Ken, it gets no better than a power tool for Milwaukee. It gets no better. You got this setup. They're made right here in the USA. It's a fantastic outfit, those Milwaukee Tools people. You got to get Milwaukee, Ken. When you're serious about this stuff, when you get done with the other brands that you have, because it's a bit of a mix-up of what I got, a mishmash, if you will, of what I have. When you're done fiddling around with some of those other ones, when that battery finally dies on those other brands, you go right on ahead. Get yourself a great big set of Milwaukee. It's time to treat yourself, Ken. That's what they tell me. Now, hand tools, I'm in a different category, but I'll talk about that at another time. But when it comes to power tools, I say, okay, what the hell? I'm only going to live once. I might as well, if I'm going to get something, I might as well get what I pay for. I might as well get Milwaukee. And I think it's the same way with Trevor Lawrence. I've been hearing forever about how great Trevor Lawrence is going to be. I've seen the field and brush mower information. I've seen all the stuff. Fine, Trevor Lawrence is your number one guy. I'm going to agree with everybody. Trevor Lawrence is number one. You've been telling me for years when I go out to the quarterback store, I'll get Trevor Lawrence. I'll give the most up for him because I know I'm going to get the best out of him. Fine. When it comes to Justin Fields and Zach Wilson, what scares me about the Jets, and I keep hearing, well, he's great in chaos. He leans into the chaos. Look at the throws he makes from his back foot. Ken, doesn't that remind you of somebody? Doesn't that remind you of Patrick Mahomes, the way he's able to move and still throw and load up on the run and still be able to deliver a really deep ball that's accurate, that's strong? Doesn't that remind you of Mahomes? And I go, are you trying to recreate Patrick Mahomes or are you trying to get a quarterback? Because on what planet? On what planet is that that's something that you could put in his basket, but on what planet is that something that you necessarily want constantly? Is he leaning into the chaos? That's a question. Will he be able to take from where he had with BYU and transfer that to the league? You were, and I know it was the Big 12, you were dealing with superior athletes there. You were dealing with better athletes playing in bad defenses, but better athletes coming after you. And for Mahomes, I wonder if we've begun the chase for Mahomes and we're not seeing these other guys and trying to say, are we getting a really poor man's or a non-existent Patrick Mahomes? Because I think that if you asked Andy Reid and you asked Patrick, they would probably say, hey, you know what? I'd love to be able to stand back and load up from a base. That's why we went out and we traded for Orlando Brown. That's why we went out and we signed who we wanted to try to get in a good offensive line going, because that's what we think cost us a Super Bowl. Yes, I can make magical throws at certain times, but if I don't have good blocking, I'm going to be in a big, big, big heap of trouble. I think Patrick Mahomes, while we see him go horizontal from a foot up and still be able to throw a dart and be able to complete incredible passes and no-look passes, and he is a tremendous athlete, I think Patrick Mahomes would tell you, yeah, I'd love to take a two-step, drop step back, survey the field, and let it rip from shotgun. Have a nice base. Let my body be the strength, not just my big arm, and be able to deliver bullets accurately and on time down the field to Tyreek Hill and to Travis Kelce and so on and so forth, and have myself a tremendous outing on my offense. I think that definitely Patrick Mahomes would rather say that. And are we trying to turn Zach Wilson into something he's not? With Trey Lance, I wish I had a bunch of negative stuff to say. I don't. He's played as many games as Mac Jones. I don't know much about Trey Lance. I tried to watch him in 2019. I watched him in his one game in 2020, one showcase game, then he hung it up for the rest of the time at North Dakota State. He's big, he's strong, got a big arm, can throw it a country mile through that dome. He's fantastic in a lot of ways. I haven't seen enough. And I'm trying not to be stupid and say, well, you know, Carson Wentz, the same way people do with Justin Fields. Well, how many quarterbacks has Ohio State produced? Well, is that the case? Do I do that with everything? It's not necessarily the company I keep. Were the Giants not taking Saquon Barkley? Were people not taking Saquon Barkley because he went to Penn State? I don't think that was the case. I don't think you can make that argument. Do I take a linebacker just because they went to Penn State? Do I take a defensive back just because they went to Ohio State? There are a couple of ways that you could say that would work out in a lot of ways. There are a couple of ones that have fallen. Sean Wade did not do himself any favors this year, sad to say, because I know he wanted to play so much. And we've been through the Eli Apple type of deal when it comes to the Giants as well. When it comes to Mac Jones, I almost feel bad, because I don't want to rip Mac Jones and put Justin Fields up. And this is where I say it. If you had the number two pick, Trevor Lawrence, I've been hearing about Trevor Lawrence a long time. He's big and he's strong and he can let it fly. But when it comes to the other four quarterbacks, you're one of these guys, probably two of them, are going to be a bust. And they may go 1 through 5. See what the Falcons want to do. See what the Bengals want to do. And if I have these five quarterbacks here, and I put Justin Fields next to him, okay, Trevor Lawrence, I can see that argument. But when I put Justin Fields next to Wilson and Jones and Lance, it's tough for me to say anybody but Justin Fields. And if the Jets weren't picking it too, if it were anybody else, because I still believe that there's certain things that NFL teams make in terms of decisions, and I still think that there's decisions that the Jets make. And I think they're different things. I can see the Jets resetting and talking themselves into something and deciding something very quickly. I don't care what you tell me about Joe Douglas. There's something about when people go there, it just changes the way they think. When they go over there to the park, it just changes the way that they learned a lot of football, and something about walking through those doors just changes any sort of common sense that they have, and they become the Jets. And if it were anybody else who had that number two pick, what do you think they'd do? If Atlanta had the number two pick, would they take Fields? If Detroit had the number two pick, would they take Fields? If New England, San Francisco, Denver were to have that number two pick, would they take Justin Fields? Or really, would they take Zach Wilson? I'm serious. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Which one would they take? Because when I put Justin Fields one by one, Wilson, Jones, Lance, Jones, Wilson, either way, I think it's Justin Fields. Mac Jones, I've told you a billion times, if I were to put, I can get no better than perfect, but if I were to put Justin Fields in the Alabama offense, would I have better results? You can't be better than perfect. Ken, you can't use that against him. Aha, fine. If I put Mac Jones with the Ohio State offense, would I have better results than what I had with Justin Fields this last year? Let that sink in. You can't be better than perfect. I can't take away from Mac Jones for being able to play and hack it and beat out Bryce Young, who's one of the top recruits in the country going into last year. Can't take it away from Mac Jones, who was able to do that, deliver accurate balls to good, solid, incredible talented players, the good offensive line, great defense. I can't take it away from him. And I would say, well, maybe if Justin Fields is in that offense, it'd be even better. You can't be better than perfect. You can't be better than a runaway freight train. And so I can't use that. But if I were to put Matt Jones with Ohio State, would Matt Jones and Ohio State have beaten the Alabama Crimson Tide with Justin Fields in Alabama? Don't think about that one too hard. So because I take up for Justin Fields, it makes it personal because I like him. And I want him to be successful in the NFL, and I may look like a total jackass by the end of this year, but hey, que sera, sera, which way it's going to go, that's the way it goes. There are two teams that I'd like to end this begging. I want to beg them to go after Justin Fields. One makes me sick to do. The first one's Bill Belichick in New England. Now, I've been trying to preach this to Bill for a long time, and I'm sure he knows over there on Nantucket. But I've been trying to preach this to him for a while. You watch Tom Brady go down to Tampa Bay, take a team that not a lot of people talk about. Sorry, they don't. Go down there with Bruce Arians, take over that offense. And I didn't think they'd win a Super Bowl. I thought they'd make the playoffs. I didn't know if they'd be a Super Bowl team right off the bat. Thought it might take a year. I thought maybe in year two it would come around. They brought in Antonio Brown, which is a pariah in certain circles in the NFL. Brought back Ron Gronkowski, the grand old man, the future Hall of Famer. They got him out of the wrestling ring. They let him go out there, and the way he went, the way their offense went. Tom Brady was able to get the ball out. He was able to be accurate. It was the same damn thing we were talking about when Tom Brady was a free agent. Go, man, wouldn't Tampa look good? I think they're just a couple of pieces away on defense. I think if they draft a guy in the secondary, they'll be good. Ding. I think if he's able to get the ball out, they'll be better. Ding. I think if they cut down the turnovers, they'll be better. Ding, 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 ding. And Bill had to watch the whole thing. Well, he went out and grinded it with Cam Newton and a little bit of Jarrett Stidham trying to give him a chance. And people were saying, well, you know, Bill did it with Tom. Maybe he's going to be able to do it with Jarrett. Okay. You had a year of that. LeVar Arrington, people said, were crazy a couple of weeks ago, and he is. He's early to the party on that, about Bill Belichick being on the hot seat when it comes to New England. But, you know, there is a quick turnaround in the NFL. There's a quick difference between what happens in the spring and what we talk about by December. and about what we perceive with a football team. And if Tom Brady's still out there kicking ass and taking names and taking over the NFC South and looks like he could win himself another Super Bowl, yet another one with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you're in the AFC East, the division you used to dominate. And think about this for a second. You're still there with Cam Newton, or you're maybe there trying to make some move for Jimmy Garoppolo, and Miami say Tua gets it figured out. Josh Allen looks like he's got the goods, and Buffalo looks like they have the goods. And say they do take Zach Wilson in New York, and say Zach Wilson takes flight. That's a terrible pun, didn't mean to do it, but say they're great, and the Jets are good, and all of a sudden, you look like your old hat. These younger coaches in all these places, the forward thinking in all these places, you're the master, but maybe you've given up a couple of your tricks that you still had left in that bag. And now all of a sudden you look old, you look all of 69 years old, you look antiquated, it looks like time has passed you on. Do you want that? Do you want that with the 2015 MVP? Or do you want to take a great big stab at somebody who could transform your offense that you could roll out on boot with all those nice pieces that you got on offense and defense that you could roll out there and run a different type of offense that you and Josh McDaniels have been trying to run over the last 3 years? Do you want to do that? Or do you want to do the Cam Newton thing? Do you want to go for the gusto with the type of players that you were able to bring in during free agency? Or you could, you always could, and I'd support it. I think it'd be a great story if you went out and you got Jimmy Garoppolo, and Jimmy Garoppolo had this renaissance, and it was with Bill, and you showed the world just how great of a coach you are. It'd be great. Or you want to go for the big score. You said before there's 60 guys who are capable in any draft year to be a New England Patriot. Bob Kraft called you out just a month ago, said that the reason they spent so much money in free agency is because they didn't hit in the draft. Whether he meant to or not, he's calling you out, Bill. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Do you want to be still the greatest coach who ever lived? You'll still be the greatest coach who ever lived by the time it's all said and done. Do you want to go after Don Shula's record? I know that's why you're still there. What are you, 49 wins away, whatever it might be, 50 wins away? Got to go look at the numbers still. Do you want that record? Do you want to coach into your 70s? Do you want that young, strong quarterback that can not make people forget about Tom Brady, but help them move on, including yourself? Or do you want Cam Newton or Jimmy? That's the first team. The other one's the Pittsburgh Steelers. And it kills me to say that because you know where usually my bread is buttered. And it scares the hell out of me. The epilepsy story comes out, and then you have Charlie Casserly, who we had on this show just about a month or 2 months ago, talking about him and how he could possibly fall to 24. And guys, as a fan, headsets off for a moment. As a fan, I've told you, I've had a blast this offseason. My favorite football team, because I don't care about calling it down the line. If you've listened to me for long enough, you know damn well who my favorite football team is. And I had a hell of a time in January to watch a team that has beaten the brakes off of my favorite football team for so long, called him little brother, has rubbed our noses in it, and we've had to go down there in week 17 and come back, and coaches are getting fired and try to start all over again. It was so wonderful to see a 28-point jump and then to watch Ben Roethlisberger on the heated benches at the end crying with a face that looked like Ted Kennedy. You have no idea how great that made me feel. And to hear that they're still, well, we're going to bring it all back for Ben. Rickety Ben, we're going to bring it all back for him. When he was listening to the coaching and when he was with Mike Tomlin, they were fantastic at the beginning of the year. Then Tennessee happened, and he was kicking ass, taking names, doing everything he could do. And he decided at halftime he was going to turn back into old Ben. Dr. Jekyll turned into Mr. Hyde, and Dr. Jekyll never came back. And away they went through the rest of the season. 1-5 over the final 6 weeks, a loss to the Cleveland Browns, who you've always treated as little brother, and a crisis of confidence. But the Rooneys are going to bring him back. Mike Tomlin is saddled with him. And I look at Kevin Colbert and I say, huh, you got the 24th pick. You were the flimsiest 12-4 team in the NFL last year, maybe even the flimsiest 12-4 team in history. Your offensive line is deplorable. Your running game is non-existent. Your defense is still pretty decent. There's still a couple of things you could bring back there. You brought back Juju Smith-Schuster. You still have one of the best, young, toughest wide receivers in the NFL, maybe the best in Chase Claypool. Justin Jefferson might have something to say, but Chase Claypool is built like a brick you-know-what house. Do you want to go for it? Do you want the heir apparent, or do you still believe that Mason Rudolph can do this? Maybe you do. I don't know. I have no sympathy for you if you do, but maybe you think Mason Rudolph can, or Dwayne Haskins. You know, there's still plenty of strip clubs in Pittsburgh. I have been to them. Maybe Dwayne Haskins will take over. Where do you want to go for it? Do you want the guy who's a former Ohio State player? You know, you love Ohio State players, Kevin. Do you want that guy to roll out on boot, to be able to make the Browns and Ravens and whoever else may come second guess for just a second where he could take off or dump it off to Chase Claypool or dump it off to Juju or be able to get out of harm's way, especially if you guys have to deal with a less than stellar offensive line this year? Or and of course he could learn behind Ben Roethlisberger. If Ben Roethlisberger is going to play this year, I'm so stupid. And he could sit and learn and get tutelage and run your offense with Matt Canada. Might be great in 2022. Or you can do this and keep this whole thing going in a hospice situation for grandma before she blows out her final set of candles. And then she has a little bit of cake and she gets a little bit on her nose, and you treat grandma the same way you treat a one-year-old on their first birthday for their last birthday. And that's Ben Roethlisberger's final season. You can do that. 855-212-4CBS. Who you taking? Who should the Jets take? It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Ryan Dunleavy, New York Post, NFL writer, 11:40 a.m. Eastern, also 1 p.m., the final top 10 mock draft. You're going to love it. Ryan Wilson, CBS Sports NFL and NFL draft writer. He'll join us 1 o'clock Eastern. He'll go through that. It's going to be fantastic. 855-212-4CBS. All right, I laid it all out for you. I got calls in. We'll get to the calls. I want to know two things. What you want your favorite team to do. Who you want your favorite team to take. Do you want them to trade back? Do you want them to trade up? And the other thing is, where do you want Justin Fields to go, or would you take Justin Fields if you had the number 2 overall spot? So it's all out there for you. We'll get to you guys when we come back. 855-212-4CBS, and also the most interesting team in this draft. It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio right now. It's the latest sports update with Marco Belletti.
Is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Ryan Dunleavy, 1 hour from now, New York Post NFL writer. I was in a great mood. Now I'm in a bad one. I went outside. I got two Davids here. I'm going to get to the two top Davids here in a second. My desk is falling apart. Now all of a sudden it looks cluttered. I hate clutter. This is a total mess. I have to go upstairs, so now I have to wait until 2 o'clock because I want to do a show and do a good one. We'll see how that works out. But I got to wood glue it. So now I'm going to have to wood glue it and let it dry and put the clamps on it, make sure that this thing's fixed. Then I went outside. We bought this house. It's got this stupid, like, goldfish pond in the back, and the thing is just an albatross around our neck. And I'm like, I turned it on. They open it up. The people come out and do it. I'm not going to name the company. They do such a terribly half-assed job, but they're the only company around that can do this thing. It is completely half-assed and terrible. I basically have to do the whole thing. I don't know what we're paying them for. And then the waterfall that's supposed to be on this damn thing. I know, first world problems, right? The waterfall on this thing doesn't work, and I'm looking at it online. It's $400. I texted Liz. I go, get some people. We're getting people with a bobcat. We're getting people with some topsoil. We're covering this damn thing up. I'm done with this thing. Done. I don't know why we bought the damn thing. I don't like the pond. I didn't want the pond. I wanted it out when the moment we moved in. I knew this was going to be a problem. 855-212-4CBS. But honestly, I mean, if that's the worst thing that happens to me today, not a bad day. What are you going to do? David in Buffalo. Hi.
Hey, Ken. Appreciate you taking my call this morning, man.
I'm sorry I waited so long. I just wanted to wait. I just wanted to get all that off my chest. So now it's out there. It's in the open. I'm going to feel better because, you know, I hate to hold things in. I hate to hold back. I got to let it out there, David. Thank you very much. Go right on ahead.
Yeah, that was a great opening segment, man.
Thank you.
So got to jump in with a couple thoughts here. First off, what I'd love to see the Bills do is I'd love to see them draft Travis Etienne from Clemson if they can get him. I mean, Josh Allen cannot be our running back as well. I mean, last year in the playoffs, I felt like he was pulling double duty, having to be quarterback and running back. I think the most interesting team, I think it's got to be Washington. I feel like they're a quarterback away from being really interesting because I feel like, you know, they've got a hell of a defense there. I mean, their offense, to me, if they get a real quarterback and they move up in the draft to get one, they could be a real factor, I think, in the NFC. And then I think, to me, Justin Fields, the team he should go to is Denver. I think that John Elway has done a terrible job since Peyton Manning retired, and there's no doubt that Elway's left the cupboard pretty bare there, and Drew Locke is not the answer. You hear that around the league from different people, that he just makes bad play after bad play when the game is on the line, and I think Fields definitely would fit into Denver. I think they need a franchise quarterback there because that division has got three of them already. So there's no doubt Denver's got to make a move there. And, dude, I loved your rant on Roethlisberger. That was hilarious. Thanks again, man, and hope you get back out there and hit them long and straight soon, man.
We're going on Tuesday, David. I'll let you know next week how it went, okay?
Awesome, man. I don't know if I'll be able to call in next week, but hit them good, bud.
I'll still talk about it. Thank you very much, David. David in Buffalo. When it comes to Roethlisberger, it's so weird because, you know, some people go, well, Ken's a hater. Well, yeah, as a fan, I am. I ain't going to lie to you. But I've been alive for 34 years. While I've been alive, I know they weren't that great in the 80s. Well, I was cognizant of football, all right? The Steelers have been one of the gold standard organizations in the NFL, and they've been one of the gold standard organizations, not just in the NFL, you really could say in professional sports, because of their ruthlessness. Like, I don't care what anybody says. That's part of the reason Terry Bradshaw has held something against the Steelers and has held something against, maybe not held something against the Rooneys, but has certainly held something against the Chuck Knoll, and has held something against Pittsburgh the way his career ended. And I think that was the right move for the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's a lot of guys. The late, great Kevin Green said he was flat-out lied to by Bill Cowher, said he was going to be a Steeler for life. Yeah, things change. And that team has been great because they've moved on from, yes, still guys who have been legendary Hall of Fame players. They've moved on from them and have gotten ready for the future. They have never allowed themselves to go back to 1969. You know, those type of things. Before Chuck Knoll, before their golden era. They never allowed themselves to do that. And they've had a couple 8-8s here and there, but they've been really a model franchise for the last 30 years. And to see them hold on, hey, if they go out and they take Najee Harris or something like that, and they have those guys, yeah, they might be a 500 football team. A little bit, we'll see what Ben Roethlisberger does. He'll probably start off okay. He'll be healthy again. He'll probably start off all right. But just watching him, and I'll tell you what, and I'll bring this up later on in the show as well, watching that Week 17 game last year against Cleveland, it showed me that Ben Roethlisberger's the problem. Mason Rudolph isn't that great of a quarterback. He'll listen to the offense. The offense sung. They almost beat the Browns. The Browns needed to get into the playoffs. Mason Rudolph is not that great, but he'll do what he's told. And I'm thinking, if Mason Rudolph can nearly beat the Browns in a game that they needed desperately, the Browns did, with a bunch of other guys as backups, what does that say about Ben Roethlisberger? And I got all these other guys praying at the altar of Ben Roethlisberger. Well, Ken is QBR and all this other stuff, and he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, that happened back then. What have you done for me lately? What are you going to do? I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger is not a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying Ben Roethlisberger wasn't a talented player. I've been disappointed by Ben Roethlisberger's career, and I've told you for the simple reason is Ben Roethlisberger to me is one of the finest natural athletes I think I've ever seen. And I think if he put in the work that Tom Brady did or Peyton Manning did, I think he'd have more rings than both those guys. I don't think he'd have more rings than Tom Brady. I think that he would probably take away two, maybe three rings away from Tom Brady during that time. So it might be neck and neck. I've been disappointed in his career because of that. But for them, that team that has always looked three, four steps into the future, to be beholden to this, it's a disappointing thing. David in Cincinnati, I'm looking forward to this. Are you a Bengals fan, David?
Unfortunately, yes.
Yes, go ahead. I want to hear it. Go ahead.
Well, can I make a quick point about Roethlisberger?
Please.
Would have they been faithful to him if he wouldn't have restructured his deal?
I don't know if they would have. Part of me thinks they would. I wish they would have. I wish they wouldn't have. I wish they would have just cut him and moved on, because I still think even with a restructured deal, if they just cut him and they move on, it's clear they need a quarterback in what looks like a pretty, we could argue it in 5 years, a deep quarterback class. It probably would have been for their own good if he wouldn't have restructured their deal, right?
Yeah. Like Pittsburgh is a lot, or Cincinnati is a lot like Pittsburgh when it comes to that. They're too loyal to their players. And it's going to be interesting with this draft. I want them to pick Sewell, the offensive lineman, to protect Burrow. But we'll see how much pull Burrow has with the front office, because the feeling around here is right now they're going to take Chase because that's his boy.
I love that you made this call, because I want to say I think Cincinnati's the most interesting team in this draft.
I don't know why, because it's their fifth.
I think that they could be the first team to have a player off the board that's not a quarterback. And we've been saying that for a while, but I have a real crisis here. Tony Pauline joined me last week, David, and he brought up Penei Sewell, and I go, okay, what about some of the stuff I've been hearing? It's almost been Justin Fields-esque. He goes, you don't got to worry about this. This is a guy who can play any position on the offensive line, left, right, doesn't matter. He can do it. You take him, you protect Joe Burrow. Because I had a thing here, David, where I was like, man, I really like Kyle Pitts. And I know they probably won't take him. I really, really, really like Kyle Pitts. You know, you bring up Waddle or Chase or anybody like that. I think that he could do well with the best overall player, but I also know that he's protected, and I also he needs protected. And I would go, well, I took you number one overall. You gotta turn guys into weapons as well. Like, I think he did that a little bit better with T. Higgins and a couple of other guys. But this is where your test. This is where your test really happens. So I think they are the most interesting team in this draft, David. You would take Sewell?
Well, I would take Sewell, and I'm not comparing him at all. Don't hear me wrong, but the best player in the history of the Bengals is Anthony Munoz, and he's come out the last couple weeks going, you got to take this kid. He's me, you know?
Well, that's a hell of an endorsement there. I've struggled.
I mean, he said it, not me.
I've struggled with it just because I've struggled. Well, real quick, what do you think, Dave, if you were number two, if you were the Jets, would you take Justin Fields real quick? Go ahead.
Yeah, I probably would, but the thing is, I don't agree with it so far, but you made the comment about how people are thinking Ohio State quarterbacks are bust. Well, that perception is starting to be reality around here. I mean, they're not – Ohio State fans aren't going to complain about that because they win at Ohio State, but the reality is – the best quarterback Ohio State has ever had in the NFL is Art Sleaster, believe it or not, stat-wise.
Well, if we're splitting hairs here, it might end up being Joe Burrow. I'm just splitting hairs.
Yeah.
David, thank you very much for the call. No, I really don't get into the whole, well, a guy went like a USC quarterback. A guy went to USC, that's it. Well, do I just take a BYU quarterback because you have Jim McMahon there, because you had Steve Young there? Do I just take a Purdue quarterback? You look at Purdue's track record with quarterbacks. They've had some legendary quarterbacks there. Bob Greasy, Len Dawson, Drew Brees. Kyle Orton had a nice career. He ain't no legend, but he's had a nice career. Like, that's a good quarterback school. Do I just take a guy from there and say, it'll be fine? Because we do that with some other positions. Defensive backs with Ohio State, linebackers with Penn State. I mean, we can make those arguments. I just don't think we should do that because I got to look at the player. There's players who come from certain places, and they don't fit that mold. And if we are splitting hairs, Joe Burrow was an Ohio State quarterback at one point. Of course, he should be credited with LSU because that's where he ended his career. With Cincinnati, I think they're the most interesting team in the draft because I've heard things about Penei Sewell that I don't want to believe because I think there's a lot of stuff that's unfair, just like the same thing we were talking about with Justin Fields. And if I hear those type of things, though, it makes me nervous of going, okay, you took Jonah Williams a couple years ago. The guy hasn't been able to stay healthy. Turns into a bad pick so far. It's been unfortunate. That's the way it's gone. You let Andrew Whitworth go. He still had some golden years left to do it. He could have protected Joe Burrow. I know that he was working with Joe Burrow and talking to Joe Burrow, hanging out with him over this last week. A lot of good stuff there. I know that you got to protect Joe because he's supposed to be able to make great talent out of the wide receivers that you have. Great targets out of the wide receivers, out of the tight ends that you have. And so far, I think he has. You know, I love T. Higgins coming out of the draft. If T. Higgins would have ended up with another team, would we be talking as much about him? Maybe not. Maybe not. But I love Kyle Pitts, and I know we get to the best player available. But when you get to that level of you got a franchise QB, if you don't take an offensive lineman, and I don't know if Joe Burrow's this guy. I don't think he is. I think that Joe Burrow might be a guy who just keeps his head down and continues to plug away for a franchise. He may very well be that guy. But with what's happened with Russell Wilson, what's happened with Deshaun Watson, the off-field stuff notwithstanding, what's happened with these guys, they're becoming angrier. They know that this is a rings culture now in the NFL, and it's going to be that way for Joe Burrow. Where are you in the playoffs? Where are you with the big signature wins? Where are you compared to the other young guns? And he's coming off a major injury, and we'll give him a little time because of that major injury. But there will be a day where maybe Joe Burrow's looking around the league going, you know, I'd like a little bit of protection as well. I can't just do this by myself here. And maybe Joe Burrow's not the type of guy to insist on a trade or threaten a trade or anything like that. I wouldn't think that he is. But the Joe Burrow that we know now, or we think we know now in 2021, things may change by 2026. You're looking elsewhere in the division, or you're looking elsewhere in the conference. Frustration and time, they are bad roommates. And so he may very well be understanding now he's a coach's son, but in 5 years, Joe Burrow's right there in the meat of his prime, or getting into the meat of his prime. What are we going to be saying with him? And if he's consistently being planted and there's roster turnover going on, he's about to be paid his, or he's being paid his first big contract in the NFL, now you're going to have to make some serious decisions with one another. And I think for a guy like Joe Burrow, while he might keep his head down, I don't know the Joe Burrow that's going to be around in 2025 and 2026, and he doesn't either. This draft for Cincinnati has real long-term ramifications for the future of their franchise with Joe. 855-212-4CBS. Up next, top five subject in. You got to get them their belongings, but this is pretty unbecoming. It's Ken Carmen, CBS Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.